Let's read together Psalms 61 and 62. Both of these Psalms of David emphasize the security for the believer that is found in the Lord, who is the rock of safety and the rock of salvation. Let's read Psalm 61. Hear my cry, O God, attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth I will cry to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in your tent or tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings, Selah. For you, O God, have heard my vows. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. You will prolong the king's life, his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O, prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve him. So I will sing praise to your name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. Let's begin our study of Psalm 61 with some background notes. We see from the title of Psalm 61 that David was the author, and the psalm was later set to music and sung in worship to the Lord, accompanied by a stringed instrument. Now, we don't know the occasion of this psalm for sure, but there is a good possibility that it was written when David was fleeing from King Saul. Remember, he was moving from place to place in the Judean wilderness looking for security for himself and his men. In this context, we can well understand David's request of the Lord in verse 2. From the end of the earth, I will cry to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. David is physically and emotionally exhausted and crying out to the Lord from the ends of the earth, as it were, where humanly speaking, he's at the end of his rope. Lord, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. In other words, Lord, maybe it's Masada or some other rock fortress, but please lead me and my men to security. I know I can depend on you, Lord, because I know from experience that you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. Verse 3. And that brings us then to our doctrinal point for Psalm 61. In God, the believer finds security. In God, the believer finds security. Notice in this psalm that four illustrations are used in verses 2 through 4 to convey the idea of great and complete security and refuge for the believer whose trust is in the Lord. Number 1, the rock that is higher than I. What a great picture of security and refuge. A huge, solid rock. And if it's higher than we are, it's certainly higher than any enemy who's trying to get at us. The Lord himself, of course, is the solid rock for every believer. Number 2, a second figure of speech that is used for the believer's security is tower of strength, verse 3. For you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. In ancient times, fortress towers were always the strongest point of a defense system. In times of attack, that's where you would want to be. Safe in the tower of strength. The Lord is our strong fortress tower. Number 3, the third illustration of security is the Lord's tent. Verse 4, I will abide in your tabernacle or tent forever. In Bible days, if you were invited as a guest into someone's tent dwelling, the host was to protect you at all costs. Now, can you think of any more secure dwelling than to be a permanent guest in the Lord's tent? And number 4, the fourth figure of speech that is used here in Psalm 61 for the believer's security is the shelter of the Lord's wings, verse 4. I will trust in the shelter of your wings, Selah. As a mother bird or hen protects and cares for her baby birds or chicks, so the Lord shelters us. In God, the believer finds security. Practical application for Psalm 61. Don't miss the Messiah. Don't miss the Messiah. That is, don't miss the Messiah in Psalm 61. David was confident that the Lord had heard his prayer and that he would be blessed with the promises and benefits of the Mosaic covenant, verse 5, including long life, verse 6, and loving kindness and truth, verse 7. Now, notice in verses 6 and 7 that David moves from the first person, I and me, to the third person, he and him. Let's read those verses 6 and 7. You will prolong the king's life, his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. Oh, prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve him. So do you notice as you move into verses 6 and 7, whereas before it was the first person, I and me, now it's the third person, he and him. Why? Well, we believe it's because of the messianic implications of these verses. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, David is looking beyond himself to his greater son, the Messiah. The Lord Jesus Christ will be enthroned forever. Let's not miss the messianic implications of this psalm. Even the ancient Jewish rabbinic comment in the Aramaic Targum of this psalm says the coming Messiah is in view here in Psalm 61. So don't miss the Messiah in reference to your salvation, and don't miss the Messiah in reference to your study of the Psalms, including Psalm 61. Don't miss the Messiah. Let's continue reading Psalm 62. The theme of this psalm, like Psalm 61, is also the security of the believer. And here the emphasis is on God as the believer's only source of security. Psalm 62, beginning with verse 1. Truly my soul silently waits for God. From him comes my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will you attack a man? You shall be slain, all of you, like a leaning wall and a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his high position. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Selah. My soul, wait silently for God alone, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Surely men of low degree are a vapor. Men of high degree are a lie. If they are weighed on the scales, they are altogether lighter than vapor. Do not trust in oppression, nor vainly hope in robbery. If riches increase, do not set your heart on them. God has spoken once, twice I have heard this, that power belongs to God. Also to you, O Lord, belongs mercy, for you render to each one according to his work. Let's consider a couple of background notes for Psalm 62. We see from the title of this Psalm of David that it was to Jeduthun, who was one of the choir directors for temple worship when this psalm was put to music. Now, we don't know the occasion of his psalm, but it may have been at the time of Absalom's rebellion. Look at verses 3 and 4 once again. How long will you attack a man? You shall be slain, all of you, like a leaning wall and a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his high position. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Selah. This situation of plots to bring down the king like an unstable wall or fence through lying and deceitful words sounds a lot like what we read in 2 Samuel chapter 15 about Absalom's secret plans to usurp the throne by stealing away the hearts of the people of Israel. Read 2 Samuel chapter 15 in this connection. Once again, we see that David turns to the Lord as the rock of his salvation and the stronghold of his security. Verse 1 and verses 6 and 7. Notice that the emphasis in these verses is on the fact that safety and security are found only in God. And that brings us to our doctrinal point for Psalm 62. Only in God, the believer finds security. Only in God, the believer finds security. Remember, our doctrinal point for Psalm 61 was, in God the believer finds security. Now here in Psalm 62, the doctrinal point is, only in God the believer finds security. Notice the emphasis in this psalm on God alone for our security. verses 1 and 2 once again. Truly my soul silently waits for God. From him comes my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. Verse 5. My soul wait silently for God alone, for my expectation is from him. And verse 6. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. At all times, we should look to the Lord alone as our refuge for security. Verse 8. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Now in verses 9 and 10, a great word picture is used to describe how futile it is to put your hope and confidence in anything or anyone other than the Lord. Consider a balance scale. On one side, you put vapor. That's all, just vapor. On the other side, you put five things that people often trust in for gaining security. Number one, other people, verse 9. Number two, positions of power, verse 9. Number three, oppression, that is suppressing others to gain your security, verse 10. Number four, robbery, that is to gain wealth and security quickly, verse 10. And number five, riches, verse 10. Even riches obtained by honest and ethical means. Guess what? Put all of those things on one side of the balance scale and vapor on the other, and vapor outweighs them. The end of verse 9. In the balance, they go up. They are lighter than vapor, verse 9. Not too much substance to those five items, is there? Everything we need is found in God alone, verses 11 and 12. God has spoken once, twice I have heard this, that power belongs to God. Also to you, O Lord, belongs mercy, for you render to each one according to his work. Everything we need is found in God alone, verses 11 and 12. He is all-powerful. He is faithful and loyal in his love for us. He is fair and just with everyone. Only in God the believer finds security. Practical application for Psalm 62. Wait in silence. Wait in silence. Verse 1. Truly my soul silently waits for God. And verse 5. My soul waits silently for God alone. David knew that the Lord alone was his security, even though the situation he was in did not look secure at the moment. But David was willing to wait for God to act. Not only willing to wait, but to wait in silence. No complaining. No telling God how to do it. No bargaining. Now, what about us? We say that we wait on God for his will in our lives, but do we wait silently? Or do we complain and tell the Lord what he should do? Do we bargain with God? Let's be more like David. Wait in silence.